Yes, yes, yes. Hello, hello. Yes. You assured me that you were all alive. You assured me you were all alive. What? Don't come here talking to a load of dead people. My name is W.B. W.B. Yes. I like to be known as W.B.
What were you in your last year?
I am so glad, sir, that you broke the silence. I was starting to wonder. What did you say?
Who were you in your last life?
WB. All my past life, WB. I was a scientist, you would call me. I was a scientist in Edinburgh, though not of Scottish descent, you understand. I moved up there from the southern country. Yes. And I worked in the university there. Studying.
Do you remember your past lives?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, my dear lady. I remember every iota of my past life. Which is fortunate for you, otherwise I would not be able to answer your questions tonight. Yes.
Did you mean his past lives before the last one?
Yeah, like all,
yes.
All your lives.
I know, I'm joking with you. I have known many of my past lives, but when you come up to this spiritual plane, my friend, you do not always find yourself wanting or ready to experience all your past lives. The shock of the most recent one is quite sufficient, thank you. Because when we have to come up to the spirit planes, and I say come up in a figurative way, yes, as old Hay explained to you earlier, when you come to the spiritual plane, you have to reflect upon your previous life, your most recent life, in order that you may learn most fully from the experience. For it would be a terrible waste, would it not, if you were to have all the experiences which you have had, and then not to make the most out of them, to learn the most from them. Therefore, we all have to put ourselves through the mill, you might say, in order to fully integrate our learning from our most recent life into our experience, that we may carry it forward in growth and knowledge. I would not say, of course, that everybody is so quick already or willing to take in this experience, but there are helpers near to hand for those who are of a more reluctant bent. Yes. One of my friends calls them leeches. He speaks of the guides, of course. Yes. But they become like leeches. Though good-natured leeches. Not leeches that suck your blood, you understand, or drain your life force. But leeches that stick to you for your own good, to ask all the right questions. Which in the case of some people is all the wrong questions. Yes. Yes.
You say you were a scientist in your last life.
Yes.
But in what field?
In electricity.
Being a scientist in those days
was difficult.
What did you think of mediums?
I was skeptical, my dear lady. I was a man of the world. a man of science, a matter-of-fact kind of man. Therefore, I was reluctant to believe anything that I could not see with my own eyes, hear with my own ears, and test with my own experiments. But I've learnt the error of my ways.
Before or after?
After, my dear person, after. I did not learn it while on the earth plane. There were many things that I did not learn while on the earth plane, unfortunately. But this was not the greatest misfortune of mine. The greatest misfortune of mine was to fail to give due priority to human contact, to human relationship. For I was a man of, you would say, who liked his own company, who was rather obsessed and absorbed in my work, which, although there is not anything too detrimental in that, but when it is taken to excess, it pales human life. It robs it of its richness. Would you not agree, my friends,
yes,
that it is the warmth of human company which is the richest experience of life?
Yeah.
And this I robbed myself of. I have no one but myself to blame for it. For I absorbed myself and preoccupied myself with my studies. I was not an unkind man, you understand. I was not an evil man. But I was neglectful of the opportunities of human encounter, human society, human love. Though I had my friends, because they were very tolerant of me, yet still I lacked that warmth of company which I deprived myself of. So I would count you lucky, my friends, if you have friends whom you can trust and rely upon. If you have friends who you can share the time of day with. This I count one of the most precious gifts of human life.
So do I, and I have many friends, good friends, and I am grateful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Have you been on any planes other than the airplane?
He's saying to me, good lady doesn't mean aeroplanes. I have not experienced other planes beyond the spiritual planes, but I have experienced some other of the spiritual planes. For you must know, my good friends, that though we speak of the realm of spirit, in many ways there are many realms of spirit, many planes of spirit. Therefore, when you come to the spirit lands, you have many lands to explore, my friends, many lands to explore. And each land is suitable to the occupants who find themselves in it. They find that there is a harmony which draws them to a certain part of the spiritual planes, where they feel most at ease, most comfortable, with friends who are of like mind. But we are all on an ever-spiraling pattern of growth. Nothing stands still. We are all growing and evolving, my friends. And it is only the limitations of our own belief that prevent us from growing. And in a sense, you could say that the fixedness of my own thoughts while on your earth plane last limited my own growth. For though I have learned the lesson, it was belated. I learned it in the spiritual lands, and I would have been far better to have learnt it while still on your plane. Far better. And I deprive myself of many experiences by not learning it here.
So where are you going next in the soul's progression?
That is a matter of conjecture. That is a matter for development. We are all spiraling upwards in our pattern of growth. And there are many realms of spirit which lie beyond. These realms of spirit, to your thinking, would be more ephemeral, perhaps. But yet, to those who live in them, they are as concrete as your world is to you. For you must know, you must realize, I am sure, that the world in which you live and the way in which you experience your world is an interaction between the physical senses and your mind and the physical world around you. It is an interaction between these things. Your animals see your world in a different way, do they not? If you were a bee flying from flower to flower, you would see those flowers in a very different way to you yourselves, as you experience them. That is reminding me, Gavia, you have these rattlesnakes here, I believe. Rattlesnakes, yes? I never encountered a rattlesnake. I presume it rattles, yes? But a rattlesnake would see your earth in a very different way yet again. This is true, is it not? Yes. And so how we experience the world is a process of interaction between our senses, our mind, and the physical world around us. And so this is why I say that you experience your world in a concrete way, but we equally, on our part, experience ours in a concrete way. Not in quite the same way as you experience your world, but nevertheless, it has a substance and a reality to us. We are not floating wisps of smoke or mist. We have substance and reality. And some of you may connect with that substance and reality at times. I sense in the room that there are people who do this, in fact, who are able to sense us in spirit. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I know that you are present.
Did you want to ask a little bit, Roger?
Yeah. Do you see peace on this earth eventually?
I see peace, but in the dim future. He is long way off, I fear, my friend, my good sir. A long way off. For are there always those, are there not, who are intent upon imposing their wishes, their will upon others? Always those who wish to do this. And as long as there are those who wish to do this, there will be sources of dissent and confusion in the world. And pain and suffering. But as long as there are people of good heart as yourselves, people who love and are compassionate, who reach out to others, there is great hope for the world. And you must do this, my friends, please, for all of us. You must reach out, to reach out in love. And not be downcast by the enormity of what you see around you. For it is as Hay said to you a short time ago, every little act, every little smile can make a difference in ways that you cannot always know, in ways that you cannot always appreciate. You can lighten someone's day immeasurably by a smile. And from these small things, big things may grow. And therefore, as more people smile, as more people reach out in love and compassion, the world will grow in peace and love and harmony.
The different religions achieving that peace amongst themselves?
I fear, my good lady, that religion is one of the most difficult conundrums that we face. For it is a double blessing, a double-edged sword, is it not? Most of the religions of the world, they call forth the best in human beings, in advocating that they should love each other and be compassionate with each other. And yet those same religions are used to practice and preach hatred. It is hard for us to understand. But we feel that the religions become tainted with the egos of those who present them, who organize them, who act as their figureheads. And anything that we do can be so easily tainted by the ego. It is like if you were to have fresh water, a great big tub of fresh water, and it tastes so sweet, does it not? You put a grain of salt in it, and I wager that each and every one of you would know that that water tasted peculiar, salty. And so it is with the ego, the human ego. It taints everything it touches and permeates it and twists what should have been pure. But we live in hope, my friend. To answer your question, we live in hope. For within each of the religions of the world, there are many who are understanding and compassionate. And therefore, within each religion, there are the seeds of love and compassion in the hearts of these people. And these people will promote dialogue. It may take many years, much time. But as they promote this dialogue, compassion and understanding will grow. Assuredly will grow.
Is there life on other planets?
Yes.
If so, could you maybe discuss what they have in relation to us?
Yes, there is much life on other planets, my friend. Much, much life on other planets. Some of them come to spy on you in the nicest kind of way. Yes, to have a look-see. Yes, a look-see. Without getting their fingers burnt. You, some of you people on the Earth plane, you are afraid of these beings from outer space, as you would call them. Yes, yes, some are fascinated by them. But you should view them, my friends, as beings like yourself, kindred spirits, if you wish. They have evolved in their own way along their own course. Some of them are highly evolved, we would say, not just in terms of their technology, in terms of their way of life which they have created for themselves, but also in their spiritual life. They have become highly evolved. But there are others on these planets in far out galaxies who have missed the path, who have developed to a high degree in terms of their abilities in manipulating their lives, in growing their technologies. But their spiritual life is of poverty, There is one such planet which I could talk to you of, where they are so highly evolved. Nobody wants for anything. Technology is developed to the most advanced specifications. But everyone is watched. The eyes are everywhere, watching. And nobody steps out of line because the eyes watch. I wager none of you would step out of line if you knew there was an eye watching you every minute of the day. But what merit is there in that, my friends? You behave as you behave only because you are watched. Is that not a poverty?
Yeah.
It is far better, is it not, for your actions to grow out of your heart, not out of fear of the watcher.
Why would anybody reincarnate onto one of those planets?
Some people do not learn, my friend. Some people like what is secure. They do not wish to grow, they want what is secure. And so they perpetuate their need. I wager you will have come across people, all of you, like that on this world that you live in now. People who repeat experiences. Sometimes, often these are unpleasant experiences. But they repeat them because they know them well. They are secure in them. Do I make sense? And so they go round in circles, yes? They go round in circles repeating the pattern, repeating the cycle. Unable apparently to break out of it. And though they may moan about their lot, they possess a certain security about it. For what is known is comfortable, yes? And so they repeat it. And it is hard for them sometimes to step out of that pattern and to grow. And this is often one of our biggest challenges, to help them to see, to grow, to break out from the cycle.
Do they visit the Earth?
Yes. These people from other planets, you mean?
Yes,
they visit the Earth.
How do they visit the Earth? How do they get here?
They come in their ships, you would call them. But their ships are sophisticated. They do not have to travel point to point like you have to in your cars. No. They can travel dimensions. But all these dimensions are interlinked.
Do they take people from Earth but also bring them back?
No. Some of them, we understand, have borrowed some of you. This is not to be encouraged. This is not right. We are unaware of any human being being taken far away from the planet. Some people, though, have a misconception and believe they have been taken away and brought back. But we have no evidence of this. For the most part, the people who look down on you from these other spaceships are benevolent at heart, wary of making contact in some cases, for they know not where it will lead. Better to look at you from a distance, they think, for the moment at least. Contact will come in time. But in their time, not yours.
When in the spirit world, do you have a choice which planet to go to in your next life?
You do. But my dear friend, what I have just said about comfort holds true in this case too. For we form an affinity with the earthly pattern, the earthly life to which we are accustomed. Therefore we are drawn to this earth, if we have had lives upon the earth. We are drawn to it and therefore seek new lives on it. It is not unknown for someone to seek a life on another planet by any means, but it is unusual, that the norm. It is more the norm to come back to where you know, albeit perhaps to a different part of the earth, for different experiences.
When in the spirit world, do you always have a choice of coming back and where you go, or are there exceptions?
Yes, you always have a choice. But of course, you also have guidance as to your choice.
You can choose.
Yes. Exactly so, my sir. Exactly so. Whether you accept that counsel or not, of course, is your prerogative. Many who are wise do. For it is a difficult thing to come back to this earth, even with all the support that can be given.
Do we always recognize our departed relatives that have passed on into the spirit world?
When you rejoin the spirit world, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely, madam. Absolutely.
Do we choose our guides?
But I would say before I answer you, my good lady, I would say to my friend, that remember to you must try to see life in the broadest, fullest sense. Therefore, you speak of your relatives whom you have known in your present life. But you may meet and encounter relatives from many lives.
Thank you.
And we would say to you, my friends, it is a useful way to think about this sometimes. Because the friend who is now sat next to you in your chair may in a previous life have been a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son, a friend. So we are all one big family, my friends. All one big family. And therefore we should not be too, how shall I put it, parochial, or restricted in how we view the human family. For we are all one big family, my friends. The people whom we have around us now are special to us, assuredly. And the people around us, such as our spouses, brothers, sisters, daughters, sons, they are all important to us. But we must remember that we are all part of a bigger, wider family. And indeed, someone who is now our enemy may have been our son in our previous life. So I am encouraging you, in other words, to have a broad heart, a big heart. Now, my good lady, you were saying,
I asked if we choose our guides, or do our guides choose us?
It is in many ways a mutual arrangement, my friend. There are many people who sometimes ask us how this comes about, this choosing of guides and allocation of guides. Yet I say to them that it is a mutual attraction, a mutual arrangement. Because you have a great need for a guide. Yes, we all do when on the earth plane to help us. But equally, the guide has a need to fulfill the role of helping, of being a helper, to help us through our earthly life. And this is why I say it is a mutual arrangement. And in some ways, it is like magnets. Yes, I played with magnets many a day in my last life. Yes, sometimes when I shouldn't have been playing with them, but I played with them, and you know well of how magnets attract. Yes, and it's a bit like that with guides and people. They attract each other, like old Hay and Paul. Yes, they are different, different personalities, different people, different beings, different priorities, perhaps you may say at times, but and yet there is a common core, a common resonance which serves to attract them to each other in order that they may work together in harmony. And so to an extent it is the same with each and every one of us, that we are drawn to our guides and our guides are drawn to us in harmony. Like the bees to the flower, yes? Like the bees to the flower. Yes, my good lady.
How does our higher self fit in there with the guides? Do they help others or do they just stick with their host?
Guides may help others as well. But we are accustomed to having one guide who takes a particular interest in us, in our development and welfare, well-being and evolution. This guide may often stay with us for the duration of our life, but it does not necessarily have to be so. For at the end of the day, your need as human beings is paramount to us. And if it meant that we would have to relinquish our tie for a time in order that someone else could come to you to help you more effectively or more appropriately, then we would be the first to step back. For your interests are at our heart. Our love for you and affection for you is paramount. Your welfare is at our central concern. And you do us honor and service by allowing us to serve you. We need you as much as you need us. We work together in loving harmony.
Why do some of us choose to leave our families behind in one country and live in another country, miles away from where we were born?
Magnets. Again, you are drawn to this place, yes?
Yeah.
You speak of yourself, mm-hmm. You are drawn to this place. The magnet pulls you. Does not mean that the magnet will continue forever to pull you, but for a time it pulls you. Times can change again. Polarities can become reversed. But it is for each of us to make our own decision on this. Each of us to make our own decision. The fact that you move country from your dear ones, your loved ones, does not mean that you love them any the less. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Indeed. You have a saying. You have a saying. Davy is trying to remind me of your saying.
Distance makes the
heart. Yes. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. Yes, it is true. And so the fact that you separate yourself by thousands of miles does not mean that you love your dear family less. And when you meet again, is it not such sweetness to see each other's faces and eyes again?
Yeah.
And when you part, is not our dear Shakespeare so correct in what he said? Parting is such sweet sorrow. In a way, it reminds us and makes us aware of our deeper affections, of our deeper feelings, does it not? But you must decide, my friend. Each of you must decide where you live. You find your own den, like your bears find their den, yes? Yes, your bears find their den in the winter, yes, that they feel comfortable in. And you, each of you is entitled to your den, yes, to feel comfortable in. please.
One more question. Would you not think then that people, and as Cage said, leave their families behind and go far to faraway countries? The reason behind it may well have been already been decided on before we came here to learn certain lessons.
Yes, may be the case. This can be the case in some situations. But there are no fixed rules, my friend. Undoubtedly, you are correct in some cases that this has been agreed or determined beforehand, for whatever reason. Sometimes things can happen on this earth plane that cause a rift and a need for freedom and separation, because people feel stifled and need to grow. Sometimes other people may feel a need for a sense of adventure, a new land, new opportunities, new experiences, broad horizons. Yes? So there are many reasons why this may come about.
But are they not all lessons?
They are all lessons. All may be learned. All things may be learned through these different lessons. But the lessons are different in their own right, are they not? And people may learn different things depending upon the context of these lessons.
Thank you very much.
But it is true that we are all, at the end of the day, individuals with our own individual life and experiences. And therefore, although principles can hold true, things can also be very different from person to person. And this is another reason why we urge tolerance and understanding to you. For your experience may not be the experience of your brother and sister, even though on the surface it seems similar. You understand me?
Yes.
Therefore, breadth of tolerance and compassion and understanding are all important.
It's 5 to 9 now, WBA. I think we need to close.
You wish, yes.
Sorry, just one quick one then.
He wishes. Sorry. He have you a few minutes, he says. He wishes to meet the people.
Okay, so Davy would like to come
through. He wishes to meet the people. Davy, you good people, are you all right for a few minutes?
Are you all right
for Are you ready for Davy? Are you sure? He carries a health warning, you know. Now he's hitting me. Now he's digging me with his paddle.
There's someone else coming through. You can ask Davia in a minute. Can you ask Davia in a couple of minutes?
You good people! You good people, you let me come and talk to you. I see so many happy, friendly faces around me. I like that. I like happy people. I like smiling people. You all happy, yes?
Yes.
Good. That is what I like to hear. But you got plenty of reason to be happy here, yes. Living in the sun. Living in the beautiful sunshine. You got plenty of reason to be happy. I hope you are all appreciative of your sunshine.
Yes.
Are you not? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All the time, you know, I have to pretend it is sunny in England. I have to. You know, I give them a blessing every night. Every week I give them a blessing. May the golden sun shine on all your days. I have to keep my fingers crossed when I do that. But I don't have that trouble here, yes? You have some rain, but nothing much. Nothing much. Yes, you have lots of sunshine. Good, beautiful sunshine. Yes.
There's a lady here who'd like to ask you a question, Dad.
Well, who are you? Who are you, good lady? Where are you?
I am just wondering.
Yep, I know you are just wondering, but what is your name, my good lady?
Let me, why?
What's your name?
My name is Kirsten.
Pardon?
Kirsten?
Kirsten.
Kirsten?
Well, I would like to know, as far as I'm concerned, I always get the feeling that so many psychic mediums and spiritualists come out of the British Isles. What is there on North British Isles?
Well, you know what the answer is. I tell you what the secret is, Kirsten. You want me to tell you the secret? Do you want me to come and whisper it in your ear so only you will know? Only you will have the secret then. You can come here if you want and I whisper it in your ear. You say I know that could be dangerous. WB, the scientist, is saying that could be dangerous. Because my whisper is likely to pierce someone's eardrums, he said. You want to know what the secret is?
Yeah.
Shall I share it all with you, all of you good people, the secret?
Yes.
Well, what else are you going to do when it's raining so much? Yeah. No, I tell you really, you see, that is what you folks would call a tradition of this spiritualism, this mediumship, yeah? You got your tradition here too, and it's growing, yeah?
Yes.
But you will not, perhaps not go back quite so long, yes?
Yes.
And you don't have quite so much rain either, you see, so it don't nurture it so quick. You see, you got too much chance to enjoy yourselves, yes? In the sunshine. Yes. But you know it's growing all over the world, yes? I don't talk about spiritualism anyway, you know. Because we all basically, as WB say, one big part of one big happy family. Yes? So we don't need to talk about any of these ism things, yes? The reality is we are all human beings, we are all spiritual beings, and we are all beings together in the great embrace of love. Yes? Is it true, is it not?
Yes.
So we don't need any of these isms, yes? If you want to talk about the isms, that's okay by them, but they can talk about them. Yeah. But for my part, we are all one big happy family. It's the happy bit we got to work at sometimes. I see so many people with mopsy faces, yeah? But I try to tickle them with my feathers just to lighten their day. Yeah. Yeah. I see you got a big boat on the lake. I saw it earlier on, the boat on the lake. Does it go anywhere?
No.
It don't go nowhere? What's the use of a boat that don't go nowhere? What does it do then?
Museum.
It's a museum. A museum. What's a museum?
A tribute to olden times.
It's a marine museum. It used to ply the lake as a cargo ship and passenger ship.
Yeah.
But it's good. Used up its usefulness.
So, but now it'd be made useful in another way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Good thing. Don't like to see boats wasting away doing nothing. I like the water, you see. When I'm in Papua New Guinea, I like the boats. I have great fun in canoes. Do you have canoes?
Yes.
Do you cut them out of one log? No, you don't do that? That's the fun. That's the half the fun of it. Carve them out of one log of one tree. You don't do that no more. Yeah, it's a good thing, you know, to do that. It's fun, you know. I used to have canoe races. Do you have canoe races?
Dragon.
You have dragons. I did not know that. How big are the dragons? I heard the dragons when they are in Papua New Guinea, but I never saw one. I always wanted to see one. How many you got? Where I got to go to see them? I can go anywhere you see. You tell me where to go and I can go there. What you say, good lady?
It's in name only.
Name only. Oh, you mean that you pretend dragons?
Yes.
That's a letdown. And I'm disappointed now. Anyway, as I was saying, I used to race the canoes. Yeah, I used to race the canoes. I'm very successful at canoe racing. Want to know my secret? Yeah, but you're not too sure, you know. Well, you know, when you're in canoe race, it's helpful if your competitors have leaky boat. Yeah. I sometimes bore a hole in competitors' canoes. They are tutting at me now. They're all shaking their heads and tutting at me. Can you see them? Yeah. I used to bore a hole in the canoe sometimes. But you know, you got to be careful. There's a skill to it. There's no use just boring the hole any old place. You've got to bore your hole in the right place. Just where it's going to do the most good. And then you've got to plug it up, the hole. Because if they see the hole when they set off in the canoe race, it's no good because they just stop, you see. They say it's foul play, you see. So you've got to plug the hole so they can't see it. And it's only as they're going along and they gather speed, you see, that the water starts to come into the boat and clean their feet for them. My God, their feet need to clean a lot at a time. Yeah. They all threaten at me now. Not nice thing to do, Davia. I know that. I learned the error of my ways. Yeah. But it's not such a big deal, eh, putting a hole in someone's canoe. There's lots of worse things you could do on this plane, yeah. I see it all the time. Yeah. Well, my friends, I must not detain you any longer. You have got homes to go to, yes? So I must not detain you any longer. So from me and all my wives, we wish you much happiness. Much happiness. And as I have a lot of wives, that's a lot of happiness. So I say to you, my friends, may the golden sun shine upon all your days and the silver moon light all your nights. And I know I am safe in that wish for you. Unlike my poor friends back in England. Happy hearts, easy minds, my friends. Happy hearts, easy minds. Goodbye, my friends.
Can we just spend a minute just sending the energy out to the world or to anyone that you know who needs healing? Because we've generated a lot of energy here tonight.